G'day everybody, Matt Ellis with you for the latest edition of the Cricket Library podcast. And today, a very special treat for us. We get to hear the story of a young broadcasting star on the rise, Serpy Babe. She's worked on the WPL, the IPL, and we get to hear her story of how she fell in love with the game. Some of the great people she's worked with, like Brett Lee, and who, of course, she would invite to her dream cricket net session. It's time to sit back, relax, and enjoy the Serpy Babe story on the Cricket Library podcast. It's a very warm welcome to the Cricket Library podcast. Serpy Babe, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you so much for inviting me, Matt. It's an honor. I'm looking forward to this.
Yeah, me too. Really nice to have someone from the biggest cricket-loving nation on the face of the earth talking to us about your love of cricket. Can you give our listeners a bit of a background as to where your love of cricket started?
Yeah. Before I do that, I would just want to point the fact out that even though we are the biggest cricket-loving nation and probably the team that's always on the top, you are coming from a nation that's always won the World Cup and probably more than any other country. So, yeah, I'm a bit jealous about that, but I think all the Indians are. But cool, I'll tell you, I'll give you the answer that you asked for.
Yeah, far away.
I remember 2007 was the year when I started watching cricket. And it all started because of Yuvraj Singh and his six sixes. That's how I fell in love with the sport, and that's how I started watching the sport. Because before that, I was just kind of curious. I was just kind of trying to figure out what is it about the sport that people love so much. Mm. Because I'd seen people get emotional, I'd seen people enjoy it, and seen people abuse the cricketers or, you know, get upset or think about that match for the entire day or for the entire week. Because back then, we didn't have a lot of cricket matches going on, right? We used to have like series, but then it used to come like once in 3 months or something like that. So it used to stay with you. The impact used to stay with you all the time.
So six sixes, yeah. From Yuvraj. Were you watching on, yeah, the television with your family?
Yeah, I was. I think that's actually the first man that I've seen like properly. My brother and my father, they were watching the match, and they were going crazy when Yuvraj was doing that. Obviously, anybody who knew cricket back then or who knew cricket at all would go crazy looking at what Yuvraj Singh did. But I was just learning cricket at that point of time. I was just developing my interest. So I was like, what is he doing that is making my brother and my father jump in joy? And I was like, come on. Okay, this is it. Now I'll watch cricket from now onwards, because I want to understand what is it about this sport that makes people go crazy.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, six sixes in an over, which is like six balls and all the balls have gone out of the park. I was like, wow, this is something cool. This is something nice, something interesting. So that for me was, you know, the point when I started watching cricket. So the credit goes to Yuvraj Singh and his six sixes, and somewhat to, you know, Andrew Flintoff. I feel bad for Stuart Broad though.
Australians have a very interesting relationship with Stuart Broad. So our Australian audience probably wouldn't mind you bringing up that six sixes
yeah,
there from Yuvraj. So what about where you grew up? Was cricket a part of the culture? Like, did you ever play any cricket, or was it just that moment with your parents, with your dad and your brother watching the game, and then did things kind of escalate from there?
I think it kind of escalated from there, and then I started, you know, watching cricket even more, and not just the one that India used to play, but also the one where my friends were playing or my brother was playing outside with his friends. So I have played with them, but it was purely gully cricket, which is street cricket.
Yep.
I've done that with my brother and my friends. But yeah, cricket is a culture over here. It's a, not even a culture, it's a religion. I mean, people are invested in cricket over here and they treat cricketers like gods. So India is actually a nation who prays cricket, who, you know, are devotees. You'll find devotees over here praying for cricket, praying for, you know, that we win the World Cup, which God is God's not been kind enough to listen to our prayers. That is how we are as a nation. We love cricket and we love cricket immensely. And it's deep rooted inside us. Like everyone who is born in India would know who Sachin Tendulkar is, or would know who MS Dhoni is or Kapil Dev is. So people are crazy about cricket over here, and it's justified to a point, because it's not like we've never won anything. We've done some wonderful things. We've won 3 ICC trophies, 4 for that matter. We've won 4 ICC trophies, which is very less compared to Australia, though. But still, it's more than the other nations, some nations at least. And we've been on top for a very long time, at least in rankings. So, and we produced some of the greatest cricketers in the world. So yeah, it's a country which loves cricket, and I've always seen people around me with the same attitude, with the same passion and love for cricket.
Now, did you ever imagine that you'd be working on television talking about cricket?
Oh, that's an interesting story. I actually, when I was growing up, I wanted to be a lot of things. I wanted to be a doctor. I wanted to be an air hostess. I wanted to be so many things at once. But I realized, okay, that's not possible. And what's my interest? What's my passion? Mm. And the only thing I loved was watching cricket and talking about it. So when I was doing my graduation, I was like, what do I do with my career? I don't want to do like a 9-to-5 job. I don't want to become a banker or a teacher. I have nothing against those two professions. Mm. Just I don't want to be associated with either of those. So I was like, what do I do? And then I was like, the only thing I'm passionate about is watching cricket and talking about it. I used to talk about cricket a lot. I used to talk to my friends only about cricket, with my father only about cricket. So I was literally talking cricket 24/7. And watching cricket was obviously one of the most important things for me, and used to give me joy, used to give me happiness. So I was like, why not do something which is around cricket, which involves cricket?
Yeah.
So that is when I thought, okay, I should maybe do something which will help me get more closer to cricket and sports in general. And then I was like, but what? There are so many things that you can do when you want to be associated with sports. But at that point of time, making a career in sports, like as a sports professional, was impossible for me. But then I was like, okay, I can't be a sports woman right now, but I can somehow get myself associated to this industry. And that is when I thought, why not become a sports presenter? I mean, it's basically two things that I love, talking about cricket.
Yeah, yeah. And having an on-screen presence and bringing that passion and that love of the game to the camera becomes infectious, and other people pick up on how much you love it. And it really does help add to the wonderful game that it is. When you're preparing to be on TV, what is it like for you managing nerves? Like professional athletes, we talk to them on this podcast about what it's like for them. They're going out to play their first game for their country, how they're feeling and that kind of thing. What about for you as a presenter? they switch the lights on, they count you in, and you're live on air. What's that feeling like for you?
I think it's very difficult to express that feeling in words, but I think that's one of the best feelings for me because, you know, at the end of the day, I always wanted to do that. I always wanted to become a sports presenter, be a sports presenter. It didn't happen to be by chance or by luck. I wanted to be that. So when I'm doing what I'm doing, it just makes me feel so good, feel so grateful, because I know a lot of people here in India especially want to do what I am doing. But I am the one doing it, which means I'm so lucky that I've got an opportunity to do what I feel is my passion, to do what I feel is not a job to me, because I'm basically doing something that I love. I'm not going to an office for, say, 10 hours or 12 hours. I'm just doing what, you know, ignites my passion. So, yeah, nerves are always there. And I feel nerves are good. I feel nerves are good because that means that you really care about what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Every time I go live, I feel like, okay, there are butterflies in my stomach. And I am excited for this, but at the same time, I'm a little nervous because there are so many people who'd be watching me and would be listening to me, would be tuning in to watch the pre-match show or maybe the post-match analysis. So, yeah, the nerves are always there, and I feel it's a good thing. Yeah, not to an extent where you're shivering and you don't know what to say, but to an extent where you know there are butterflies in your stomach and you're liking it. You know that this thing matters to you and you really care for this thing. And just the fact that, you know, you always wanted to do this. You always wanted to associate yourself with cricket. You always wanted to be around sports people. You always wanted to understand what their thinking is like. How do they analyze a particular situation? Because it's always different than the fans, right? I mean, as a fans, we can say whatever we want to and we can analyze situation. But as a cricketer, it's different because they've been there, they've done that. They know what it is like to handle the pressure of 140 crore people. So, I mean, it's nice. It's good. And you feel nervous. Yes, you do. I always do. And I think I've spoken to the greatest broadcasters in India, and they all tell me the same thing, that till today, even after doing, say, 20 years or 30 years of broadcasting, when they go live, they have the butterflies.
Yeah.
Everyone has the butterflies for different reasons. Maybe when you're starting off, your butterflies are there, but they are there for different reasons. You're worried about something else. When you've done like 10 years of broadcasting, you're worried about something else, but the butterflies are constant.
Yeah.
And which means that even after 20 years of working in that industry, even after doing 30 years of broadcasting, you still care about it. You still have that gratitude in your heart that, okay, I'm doing something which maybe a lot of people want to do, but I have got this opportunity and I want to make the most of it. I want to justify my role. I want to justify the position that I've got.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and embracing the idea that pressure is a privilege, and not everyone has the opportunity to be in that situation. Really, really great approach.
Exactly.
And,
very well said, Matt. Pressure is a privilege.
Yes.
It truly is.
It certainly is. And one of those privileges that you've had is working with an Australian superstar. You've interviewed him a couple of times and you've worked on air with him. Brett Lee, an absolute icon Australian fast bowler, revered in India. Tell us a little bit about what it's like working with someone like a Brett Lee, and how do you approach working with high-profile people like that?
Firstly, you used the right term for him. He's a superstar. And I've not Now I have worked with two Australian superstars. One is Brett, obviously, and the other one is YouTube Matt.
Who was that second one? Sorry,
you. You are the second one.
Yeah. You're very kind. You're very kind. I think our listeners. Our listeners are loving you already, and those kind of compliments will take you a long way. So thank you. Thank you for that. But the real superstar, Brett Lee, tell us about your time with him.
Yeah. So when I met Brett for the first time, I was working for a company named Sportsbet, Sports Adda here in India. I was making YouTube videos for them back then, and I was helping them with their social media. And that is when I got the opportunity to meet Brett Lee, where he was the brand ambassador of that brand. So he'd come in here to India for his YouTube channel, to work around his YouTube channel, and also because there were certain commitments that he'd made towards this brand. So he'd come and India to, you know, fulfill those commitments and also to work on his YouTube channel. So he was here, and I remember I went to meet him. He was shooting a video for his YouTube channel when I first met him, and I was like, okay, Brett, I need to ask you certain questions for social media. Let me know what would be a perfect time to do that. And he was like, okay, mate, give me some time and I'll let you know. And I remember throughout that video, a lot of times when he looked at me, he's like, I'm sorry, give me 5 minutes. But he remembered. The fact that he remembered and the fact that he valued my time meant so much to me. And this is the first time I'm meeting Brett Lee. I've seen him play. I've seen him disturb the batting lineup of a lot of teams. So I had my expectations, and I was like, okay, I don't know how he'd be like as a person. I mean, I've seen him bowl and I've seen him as a player, but I've never met him. I've never known what Brett Lee is as a human. That was my first interaction. And in that first interaction itself, I felt like, okay, he's someone who's taking an effort, who's making an effort to make me feel comfortable, which says a lot about how he is as a human. So, and I remember after that, after completing his YouTube video, we went to the place where he was staying, to that hotel, and he had one another shoot after that, and between those shoots he managed to, you know, squeeze some time out for me, and then I quickly interviewed him over there. I was so nice, and I love the fact that he knows a lot of Hindi. I think he's one of the rarest foreign cricketers who's taken the effort to learn Hindi. So he knows a lot of Hindi terms. He will use those terms in between interviews while he's, you know, interacting with fans. And I must tell you, people here in India love that. They love Brett Lee, yes. And they love Brett Lee even more when he's speaking Hindi.
What a man.
So, yeah, he's very kind. He's very gentle. And I remember post that interview, the same night I think it was IPL final or the next night. I don't remember clearly, but it was IPL final. And we were watching the match together. We'd gone out, the entire team had gone out for dinner. And we went to a Japanese place. And I'm not a big fan of Japanese cuisine. But we went there and I didn't know how to use a chopstick back then.
Oh, wow.
So I remember Brett taught me how to use a chopstick. So I flex about it a lot that I've learned how to use a chopstick, because one of the best cricketers in the world, Brett Lee, has taught me how to use it. So I flex about it a lot. He was so kind to teach me how to use a chopstick. And, you know, all these small, small things tells you so much about a person.
A multi-talented guy. He's a very, very talented guitarist. He's in his band with his brother, Shane. What can't he do?
Yeah, exactly. He can do everything. And I don't think he goes anywhere without his guitar. I think his guitar is a constant partner of his. He always carries his guitar everywhere. I still remember after having dinner, we went to We went to his suite and the entire team, and we were playing guitar. Like, I told him that I know how to play a guitar. I was just learning back then. I was a beginner. And he was like, okay, I'll get my guitar. You play guitar, I'll sing. I said, why not? I mean, who would want to refuse that offer? Bradley singing to your tunes. So I was like, why not? Cool. I told him, listen, I am nowhere near to what you are when you play guitar. I'm mature. I'm just learning how to do it. He's like, don't worry. You just play. I'll handle it. And I remember we sang, I think he sang Perfect. I was playing Perfect by Ed Sheeran on guitar. And then he also knows one or two Hindi songs. And he himself has sung one of the Hindi songs. So he's a star. I mean, he's done a movie as well, a Bollywood movie called Un-Indian. And I keep telling him, you are the most Indian that I've ever known. You know where Un-Indian. So yeah, he was singing, I was playing guitar, and then he was playing guitar and singing by himself. It's too good. He knows a couple of Hindi songs and he can play them and he can sing them properly. Exactly. There's nothing about him that will, you know, that will, everything about him will make you feel like, oh, what a superstar.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, be it singing, be it playing guitar, be it, you know, bowling, everything he can do. And then I think back in, don't remember the year. I think it was back in 2021 or 2022. Mm. And then in 2023, we were working together for one of the broadcast shows here in India. We were working together during IPL. And I still remember when I first met him, I was going to go and introduce myself to him all over again. Because obviously, you wouldn't expect Bradley to remember you.
Yeah.
But he did.
That's great. What you're doing here is you're reinforcing a lot of our listeners' positive view of Bradley. And It's great. It's great to hear those kind of things about those.
And you know what? I'm not making up any of this stuff. He's actually a pure soul, a very kind human being. I mean, who would expect Bradley to remember you?
Yeah.
Like nobody who was doing what I was doing back then would remember or would even expect, okay, I met him last year, I'm sure he will remember me. No, you wouldn't have that attitude because he meets I don't know how many people in a year, how many people who claim to be his fan, how many people who, you know, meet him across the year. And you wouldn't expect him to remember you. But the sheer fact that he remembered you makes you feel privileged, makes you feel, oh, he remembers. And again, that tells you so many things about Bradley as a human. Obviously, you know a player and you love that player. It's what we call the art and the artist, right? If you remember this debate. You love the art, but you don't know whether you love the artist or not.
Yeah.
And that depends on how the artist treats you when you meet him or her. And to me, I have always been a fan of his art. But now I've become a bigger fan of the artist.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. 100%. Yeah. You mentioned IPL. You've worked in the IPL, the WPL. I'd love to ask you, as a young female, loves the game, how much does it mean to you to see our female cricket stars elevated to the level they are at the moment, where they are worldwide superstars?
I love this fact, you know. I love the initiative that BCCI have taken by bringing in WPL. I think we always wanted a league where women are at the center of it. But the initiative was not coming. Or the fact that we took a lot of time to, get started with this, but it's finally happening. And I love the fact that it is happening because in 2 years, this is the second season of WPL, and we've seen growth. We've seen, you know, people recognizing female players. A lot of times before these 2 years, you wouldn't even recognize who this player is. who Ashley Gardner is or who, say, Shefali Verma is. But now people know who Shefali Verma is. Now people know who Chamari Asapato is. Now people know who Beth Mooney is. And especially, I think things have changed in India. I don't know about Australia. I don't know how women cricket is perceived over there. But here in India, cricket, yes, is treated as a religion, as a culture. But it was always restricted to the male gender, not the female. But now the recognition that they deserved, that they always should have gotten, is something that they are getting now. And a huge, huge part of it, or a huge credit or shout out, goes to WBL.
Yeah.
Because that has actually changed and revolutionized the way people have started seeing women's cricket now here in India. A lot of times, a lot of stories, if you hear these cricketers talking about themselves and how they started when they started playing cricket, it was more... I've heard so many stories where they used to pretend to be a boy to join an academy, pretend to be not a girl so that they can learn cricket. That is how they began. And now here they are. And I'm sure so many people watching them right now, so many young girls watching them right now, wouldn't have to do what they had to. Wouldn't have to be, you know, pretend to be a boy to just start playing cricket. So I think that is one massive change that WPL will bring in, because now people will see these female cricketers fight, these female cricketers play on the biggest screen, and they'd be like, okay, yeah, there's scope. And there's everything that you deserve when you become a cricketer.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that BCCI, also big kudos to them that they actually took the initiative to, equalize the salary of both male and female cricketers. That was, again, one of the biggest steps that they've taken to, you know, bring some parity.
Yeah.
Because for the longest time, the female cricketers were earning way lesser than what the male cricketers were. But now it's changed. And then WPL came around. So the way people perceive female cricket has also changed. This year itself, we've seen so many people going out and watching the matches. The Chinnaswamy Stadium is always full. It's always sold out. People are there cheering for their favorite cricketers, cheering for Ellis Perry, cheering for Smriti Mandana. So it's good. It's good to see that kind of reception. It's good to see that kind of turnout, the kind of turnout that we are seeing right now, the kind of cheers in the stadium that we're seeing right now. And I think somewhere it also gets the female cricketers emotional. Because they've never seen that. Because they've never, you know, they've never got that kind of reception. They always deserved it. But they didn't get it. So I think WPL is helping, you know, helping in that area. Helping in getting the female cricketers their due. WPL is a great, great initiative. And I love the fact that now we have a lot of female cricket leagues around the world. We have a Big Bash League. We have the 100.
Yeah.
So that way, it's really good to see how female cricket is growing now.
Oh, it's and I feel
that it was long due, yeah.
Yeah, definitely the Big Bash here in Australia, the WBBL, very much entrenched as part of the Australian summer. And obviously with the success of the Australian women's cricket team, with the likes of Meg Lanning leading the way for a long period of time, and participation of young girls playing cricket higher than ever before in Australia as well. So a lot of that comes down to having a good selection of role models for the young girls to look up to, and not just girls looking up to them, it's boys and girls that look up to them as cricketers.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Aspire to be at their level of excellence. Now, what's on the dream big page for Serpi Vaid? What is it for you that you are aspiring to in your career? You're a young star on the rise, really, when it comes to cricket broadcasting. Where do you see the ultimate prize being as far as your career?
I think when we are associated to cricket, I believe you also relate to that, because you yourself are related to cricket. You're also doing something very great where you're talking to people like me, talking to cricketers, getting to, you know, analyze how they work, how they perceive cricket or understand cricket. You'd relate to the point that I'm about to make, that in this privilege that we are working in this industry in itself is a dream of many. So I think the ultimate prize for me, or the ultimate goal for me, is to make a career out of this. I mean I've already started my career in this, but to establish myself as one of the best in this industry, and not just cricket per se, but sports in general. I don't want to restrict myself to one sport. I don't want to restrict myself to one country. I want to be free-flowing like that. I want to be associated to as many sports as I can. I want to travel as many countries as I can when I'm talking about sports. So that would be the ultimate prize or the ultimate goal for me, to give back to the sport, especially cricket, and to the sports in general, because I think sports has played a very big role in my life. I've never played as a professional, but when I started falling in love with cricket and started falling in love with other sports as well, I realized how much it teaches you, how much it's beyond what's happening there. It's beyond those 22 yards. It's beyond the boundaries. It's beyond the tennis court.
Yeah.
It's not just what's happening there, whether you win, you lose some, but what it teaches you, especially in cricket, as the saying goes, that not every day you'll be the hero. Someday you are the hero, the next day you might get out on a duck. Oh, and that's life.
It's so humbling.
Yeah, it's so humbling. And that's life. That teaches you so many things. You could be flying in the air one day, but the next day you could be so down.
Yeah.
You could be on the floor, you could be anywhere. And that is why it's so important to, you know, treat both the things as equal. To celebrate, yes, when you're happy, when you're facing success, but at the same time to remember that, okay, this might go away the next day. This might go away maybe a week later. Then what?
Yeah.
You could be absolutely in a terrible form. You could be in a good form, but runs wouldn't be coming. And that is how life is. Sometimes you're doing everything perfectly, but the results are not coming through. And you can't do anything, but you can just be there. Keep on it. Keep at it and keep trying.
Yeah. Yes.
I mean, these are just small examples. I mean, test cricket teaches you a lot of things. A lot of things are taught by the way people behave, the way people act when they're, say, going through a purple patch, and the way people act when they're not. I mean, Virat Kohli is a big example.
Yeah.
Stephen Smith is a big example.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, to give back to this sport that has taught me so many things, to be able to create a name for myself in this industry, to be able to cover as many sports as possible, I think that's the ultimate prize to me.
Yeah, and you're well on the way to doing that, that's for sure. And before we let you go, we love to ask this question to our guests. We get all sorts of answers to it. If you are in the position where you can have a dream cricket net session, you've got an open phone book, you can call whoever you want and they'll just drop everything they're doing, come down for a cricket net with you, Serpy. Who are you inviting to the cricket nets and why?
Wow, this is an interesting question, I must say, and a very difficult one too. So many cricketers in this world and I get to choose only three. But I'll make sure that I don't choose more than one from one country. So right now there are a lot of names popping popping up in my head, but the first image that came in my mind when you asked this question was Pat Cummins.
Oh yeah, Aussie Pat.
I envy him because he defeated us in the final, and I envy Australia for doing that. But I think he's a great, great cricketer. Yes, no doubt about it. But he's a great cricketing mind as well. I mean, to win WTC, to win, to retain Ashes, and then to win World Cup after coming here in India, that to playing against India in India in front of a massive crowd, and he managed to silence the crowd that he mentioned the day before in the press conference. I think he'd be a great one. So Pat Cummins, yes, he could be the bowler in the next session.
Very good.
So Pat Cummins would be there.
You're already.
And I'd also like to ask him what's his secret sauce of winning big tournaments and big cups. I'd really like to know that.
He might not pass on those trade secrets until he's retired.
And he's retired too. And I don't think he's retiring anytime soon. And I think the entire Australian cricketing fan fraternity would hope that he doesn't.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not. So who else is there? Who else are you lining up?
So, Pat Cummins would be there. Then I'm a huge, huge fan of MS Dhoni.
Yes. So, are you a Chennai girl?
Yeah, I love Chennai Super Kings. Yeah, so I started supporting them. I actually belong from Mumbai. I'm a Mumbaikar.
Oh.
But I started supporting Chennai Super Kings because of Dhoni. Because I always had this, love towards him. So I started supporting Chennai Super Kings for him. And, I don't regret my decision at all. They are one of the best franchisees here in India and all over the world, most consistent franchisees ever.
Yeah.
So I don't regret that decision at all. Plus, I picked a winner. He got us 3 ICC trophies. One of the greatest minds in cricketing world, plus one of the best finishers and wicketkeeper that I've seen. So MS Dhoni would be there. Again, a great leader. So I think my inclination is towards having great leaders in those next sessions. I've set Pat Cummins, I have MS Dhoni. So MS Dhoni could be the wicketkeeper in that next session. And I have picked 2 leaders, I'll go with, I purely wanted to go with, the likes of Jasprit Bumrah, Virat Kohli, but I think I'll settle for, because I mentioned that I wouldn't pick the same player from the same country. So yeah. I've done Australia, I've done India, I'll go towards England. Though I really want to go towards New Zealand as well and pick Kane Williamson, but I think I'll settle for Ben Stokes.
Ooh.
I love Ben Stokes, the character that he is and the captain that he's turning out to be. I mean, invented baseball. Who would have thought that test cricket can be played like that? I mean, we've seen a lot of players play test cricket like that. But then I think in its own way, changed test cricket a little bit though. Like initially, a lot of times you used to go for the draw. But that's kind of changed. And I think Virat Kohli also did that to some extent, because as soon as he became India's captain, he was someone who made sure that we are either going for win. It's okay if we lose in that process, but we will go for win. We wouldn't aim for draw. And I think that changed the test scenario here in India at least.
It's a much more attractive way of playing cricket, isn't it? When teams are willing to roll the dice. You've got to take risks to be successful in any area of life. And cricket is a great example of that, where you could be conservative, play for the draw, you could bat like Ben Stokes and hit a big 100 and be a hero.
Yeah, and I think if hero is something that you want to refer to any cricketer as, or give that tag to any cricketer, I think it will be Ben Stokes for England. I mean, there's no doubt about it. And he has a proper story. I mean, look at the storyline. He is the last one bowling that over to Carlos Brathwaite, where West Indies win the cup. Mm. He's the one who faced those four or maybe three sixes in that last over. I don't remember exactly. But after that, he comes and becomes one of the main characters why England won that 2019 World Cup. Though not the ideal scenario or the ideal way to win the World Cup.
It pays but to hit boundaries.
I feel really bad for New Zealand. And I think nobody on this earth would not feel bad for the Kiwis.
Yeah. Oh, they were the sentimental favourites, weren't they, really? Everyone except for England was sort of riding New Zealand home there.
True. I actually was supporting them in that World Cup. Like, after India lost the semi-finals, I was like, okay, New Zealand is now my team. I'll support them.
Yeah.
But it's just sad the way they lost. I mean, I still don't prefer to say that they lost the World Cup, because according to me, they didn't. I mean,
they just didn't lose
the World Cup. Yeah, they just didn't win it. It's so sad that they didn't. But yeah, I mean, Ben Stokes played one of the main roles in that World Cup for England after, you know, being someone who got hit or who couldn't defend what the score was in the last over against West Indies. He comes and he plays one of the most important roles. And then after that, the Ashes test, where he became the hero.
We don't need to mention that.
That will be remembered for a long, long time.
I've erased it from my memory. I don't know what you're talking about. Sorry, but
I think all the Australians would have. But I think apart from them, everybody will remember that knock. I mean, that knock was one for the ages. And that is when, you know, I think I started noticing of somebody called Ben Stokes. Like, obviously, I knew who Ben Stokes is. But just the way he came back, we always keep saying in cricket that the comeback is always greater than the setback. But yeah. I got to see that. And with this person who I think, if I'm not wrong, one of the first cricketers, I think Jonathan was the first one, but still one of the first to, you know, go out and speak in public about mental illness and about how important it is to take a break. And he did that after achieving the 2019 World Cup and after doing what he did in the Ashes. He went out and he was like, okay, I need a break.
Yeah.
Because I'm not doing fine mentally. And a lot of times, I don't know about how it's perceived in Australia, but in the entire world in general, we're still growing, we're still learning about, you know, mental health and still realizing how important it is to have not just your physical health in proper place, but also your mental health. So he was one of the first cricketers to do that, to go out and, you know, even after achieving what he has achieved, even after doing wonderful things, to go out and take a break. And then his personal story as well with his father and the one of the fights that he got involved in.
Mm.
And then to take a break and to, you know, in a way changed how we look at cricketers, because a lot of times we don't. We just look at them as cricketers and not as human beings.
Yeah.
We don't understand, okay, they are human at the end of the day. And they also have problems. They also have a life beyond cricket. And yes, cricket is important, but at the end of the day, it's just a game. And that is what I think Ben Stokes has kind of inculcated in that English setup and in that English squad, that, okay, yes, we are playing for England. Yes, we are playing cricket. But at the end of the day, it's just a game. There's life beyond cricket.
Yeah, and it allows them to play the way they play. They have that freedom. Yeah, exactly. They're not attaching the outcome to who they are. They're just letting themselves play free-spirited cricket. And if it comes off, it comes off. If it doesn't, it's not a reflection on who they are. Exactly.
And I think that's a major shift in the mindset, which a lot of people need around the world. And they've kind of, you know, accepted that, because I think acceptance is the main thing, and they've accepted that. And I've heard him so many times in interviews saying things like what you just mentioned, that even if they lose the game today, tomorrow they'll still wake up and the sun will still rise.
Yeah.
And everything will be all right. It's not like it's the end of the world. So why treat it like it's the end of the world? Okay, if you lose the series, you lose the series. Okay, but you tried. And in fact, the series that they're playing in India right now, one of the best series that I've seen in a long, long time.
Mm.
They've actually managed to challenge India here in India, which is not an easy task, to come in India and to manage to challenge this Indian side. But they managed to do that. And it's a great thing. It's a great achievement. Yeah, they lost the series, but in every test, they were there. Even when they lost, say, by 143 or, you know, a margin of around 150 runs, they were still there in that game. It's not like at any point they were out of the game.
That's right.
So I think that's something that Ben Stokes has done seamlessly. So Ben Stokes would definitely be there in my three players list that I'll be inviting for my next session. So
yes,
it will be Ben Stokes, it will be Pat Cummins, and also MS Dhoni. But you know, if I get an opportunity to, you know, interview or to speak to one of the Australian cricketers about one of the innings that they've played, I think most recently one of the best innings that I have seen, or the entire world has seen, is Glenn Maxwell hitting the double ton against Afghanistan. I mean, how did he do that? I just can't understand how he actually pulled off a miracle over there. It's not like Afghanistan, they're not a bad team. They're a good team, and they had Australia in the first half.
Yeah.
I mean, from there to come back and to hit those runs, and the way he did, I mean, he was struggling. He had cramps, and he couldn't use his feet for a long, long time. He was actually, it felt like he's playing golf, you know?
Yeah.
It's just the swinging that was helping him so much.
He is just a rare talent, Glenn Maxwell. And
he surely is. Australia is blessed.
Oh, Australia, definitely. And one thing about Australian cricket, and you mentioned they won a lot of tournaments and whatnot. One of the things that sets them apart is their ability to win the big moments in the big games. And games like that against Afghanistan, someone stood up. It was Glenn Maxwell on that particular occasion, but so many other times other players will stand up in the big moments and take the responsibility of getting the job done.
Travis had always against India. He had something against India. I just don't want him to play the T20 World Cup when India is playing. Like, not against India. Play against any other team that you want to, but not against India. WTC final he took away from us. Then this World Cup he took away from us. But the kind of, you know, the trust that the Australian team, the trust that they put on him, and the trust that they showed that, okay, even if he's not there for the first half of the matches, it's fine. We'll wait for him. We'll wait for him to come back. And the way he paid off, I mean, he won them the World Cup in that last match.
Yeah, incredible. Absolutely incredible.
Won you guys the World Cup.
I
say that with a stone on my heart.
Yeah, our listeners are loving that you're bringing these points up. It is time for us to let you go. Before we do let you go, though, you've been putting some WPL content on Instagram lately. Where can people follow you and what you're doing? They've listened to this now. How can people keep up with the career path of Serpy Vade?
Yeah, I think Instagram is the platform. And thank you so much for watching those videos and knowing that I'm posting content around WPL nowadays. It's great to know. But yeah, people who want to follow me and want to know what I'm doing with my life and what I'm talking about, which sports I'm talking about, they can always reach out to me and follow me on Instagram. My ID, my Instagram handle goes like SurbhiVed05.
We will.
So that's the handle. You can follow me there. You can follow me on Twitter, X now.
Yeah, X marks the spot.
We'll put all that information in the show notes
for those that have been listening along. We thoroughly appreciate your time. We thank you for sharing your story, and we look forward to following your career with interest as you continue to blossom in the world of sports broadcasting. Thanks for joining us on the Cricket Library podcast.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I had fun chatting with you. It was so much good.
Yeah,
talking to you about cricket and about Australian cricket and cricketers. It was good. I had fun and enjoyed my time. Thank you so much for inviting me.
A massive thanks to Serpy Vade for joining us on this edition of the Cricket Library podcast. And a massive thanks to you, our loyal listeners, for tuning in to each and every episode. If you are tuning in for the first time, what you need to do, you need to go to thecricketlibrary.com. You need to check out everything that's going on there. And importantly, you need to make sure you're subscribed to the Cricket Library podcast and checking back through the catalogue. Some of the great guests we've had on the program, none less than former Australian captain Greg Chappell, a former South African captain in Kepler Wessels. There's lots to choose from in the back catalogue recently as well. Tatenda Taibu, former Zimbabwe captain. So if you're after a chat with a captain, we've probably got one on the Cricket Library podcast. We've got lots of other great content on there as well. We look forward to your company next time. This has been Matt Ellis for the Cricket Library podcast. Bye for now.